And well wishes to all the dads who are here. Dads, we honor you this morning. Let's give them a hand. Listen, it's a bittersweet day for me. It's a bittersweet day for me. It's Father's Day. And, oh, you can hear the wind, right? So I'm going to have to, like, stay back here and hide behind this thing here. Today, Father's Day, I get after service, we'll go home and have lunch, and then I'm driving my son to college today. Isn't that horrible timing? Listen, when Reggie was born, I mean, we knew even from the womb that he was going to be like an electric kid, and I mean, he kicked and danced, and he danced his way out of the belly, you know what I mean? And great timing, Reg. Thank you. I really appreciate that. But congratulations to Reggie. He's going to be going to FIU. And so that meant that for the past, well, I haven't had a life for the past 19 years or 18 years. But certainly the last week has been like crazy. So yesterday, you know, we went and we got Reggie situated. We left the house at around 10:30. We didn't get back to about closer to 2, and doing all the stuff that is necessary. Somehow we still feel like we're not completely there yet. But anyway, such is life, right? All you fathers who've taken kids to college, I'm gonna come seeking you out so you can help us through this. Well, it's hot in here, isn't it? It is hot up in this joint. What is? Oh my goodness! And so my gift to you is I'm just gonna give you the fill in the blanks, and then you preach a sermon to yourself when you get home. All right? How about? I can't do that. And some people are like, man, why do you do that to us? Actually, you know, very quickly, today we're going to explore the challenge of seeing familiar people and problems and needs in the world and our community through a fresh light. And this is what my prayer is for all of us this morning. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will remove the spiritual blinders of self-focus that keeps us from being truly impactful to the world around us. A couple of months ago, I went through a situation with my eyes. You know, I had ulcers on each eye. And I got to appreciate how much I love seeing. Right? I got to appreciate how much I love seeing. I love being able to see. And it was humbling. It was humbling not being able to see clearly, or, you know, I couldn't take the light. And of course, I was exposed to the abuse of having my wife driving me all around. And of course, I don't know if I told you this, but she gets feisty when she's, you know, behind the wheel, because she knows that, what are you going to do? You're going to jump out of the car? Go ahead, jump. You jump out of the car right now, and I'm driving myself to the insurance agent to pick up that check. And she got feisty, so, you know, she did her thing. And but I enjoy seeing. I enjoy being able to see again. What are some of the common eye problems that we see around? And I think that there's a list somewhere. Here are seven examples of physical vision that affects the way people see. And I think we can take it to the next level, and we can put some spiritual meaning to these physical problems. Have you ever heard the term lazy eye? Right? I'm not even going to attempt to read some of these technical names, but lazy eye. Lazy eye is when your eye, right, it doesn't catch up with it, and it closes on you, and you're not able. Did you know that there's people with spiritual lazy eye? Did you know that? People that refuse to see the problems around them, and so they just close their eyes, and and wish, try to wish them away. Just maybe if I close my eyes long enough, I won't be able to see what's going on. How about this one? Color blindness. I'm a very visual person. I love art and I love colors. I really do. But can you imagine if you were colorblind and you couldn't see color? The inability to distinguish between colors. Now, in a spiritual sense, there's people exactly like that. There are people who only see their own color. And I'm not talking about skin color at this point, but they only see people that fit in their own circles and in their own situation. And there's people that refuse to see anybody else. And so we become isolated and insulated. And we're not able to see anybody outside of people who match and think and behave and like the music we like and like the foods that we like and like the parties that we like going to. And they don't go beyond that. Now, let me tell you something, that a lot of the situations that we see in the world today are precisely because of this problem. Look at the conflicts in the world, right? The conflicts in the world usually has to do with people that only see one way and refuse to see people, you know, in other kinds of situations. And the people on this side are in the same boat. And so you have this negativity, you have this conflict going on all the time. How about this one? The dry eye syndrome. That is why the inability to produce what? Tears. Boy, does this hit home sometimes when we refuse to let our hearts be touched with compassion. And so we shed no tears for nobody and nothing. We become callous and hard-hearted. Our heart of flesh becomes a heart of stone that absolutely has no feelings whatsoever. And so we see the need around us, but it doesn't affect our hearts in any way, shape, or form. That's a problem. The sad situation is that I'm not talking about people outside of the family of God. I'm talking about people inside the family of God who goes through this from time to time. It is like the priest that I talked about 2 weeks ago and the Levite that I talked to about 2 weeks ago who basically had to step over the need because there was no compassion whatsoever in their hearts. All right, let me move on quickly. How about farsightedness? Farsightedness is the inability to see objects up close, right? And so you can see very well at a distance, but you can't see close by. Did you know that there's a lot of people, a lot of churches that have this problem? They want to invest and send missionaries to reach people on the other side of the world. But the minute that you say, okay, we're going to reach out to people right in our community, they can't see it. They can't see it. So we're apt to give and pray and support, and we love listening to and listen. I'm gonna come back to this. But there has to be balance. We have to reach people on the other side of the world. But if we are going and bypassing people right on our way to church, in our way home, in our way to work, our way to school, then there's a problem there. How about this one? Nearsightedness. Nearsightedness is the ability to see distant objects clearly. Now, that is people on the other side. All they want to do is reach people, and they can only see the stuff that is immediate to them. But they can't see the bigger picture. They can't see beyond that. I see a lot of people squinting. You probably have eye problems too, right? I have farsightedness, and so you know, I can put my contacts on and I can see great, but if I don't have them on, it's all like woo, you know, it's all blurry. How about this one? Elder eye, a difficulty to see things up close. Any elder eye situations here? Yeah. Judy, no, you don't have that, do you? Oh, you do. Well, we'll pray for you, Judy. We'll pray for you. It's not fun, is it? No, it's not fun. It's not fun. Or how about this one? Misaligned eyes. Right? You can't focus, and so your eyes just go all over the place. I felt for kids when I was growing up that had crossed eye. Right? It wasn't fun for them, and it wasn't fun for you know. But that's people that cannot see. They cannot see straight. They cannot see straight. Do you know anybody, spiritually speaking, that cannot see straight? Now, these are problems that people go through physically, but I believe that these are problems that people go through spiritually. And so today I want us to look through the eyes of God, to look through the eyes of Jesus. There is this way of looking at the world, but I want us to look at the world and the need around us just like Jesus would. How did Jesus see the world? How did Jesus see the world? Well, number one, he saw the world clearly. Jesus was concise, and he could see the world clearly. He had a mission. And when other people saw impossibility, Jesus saw clearly what he had to do, his mission. I am a testament of not being able to see clearly, and it's not good. And so if you walk your spiritual life, if you go through your spiritual disciplines and you cannot see clearly, you don't see the mission that God has placed in your hand, you don't see or sense the call that God has placed upon your life, both individually and collectively, you won't be able to see things clearly. We'll be running from here to there and everywhere aimlessly, reaching out to stuff and to things that are not clear in our sight. I love this story. It's found in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. He said that when they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind. This is a kind of a gross story, actually. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes, that's a new way of praying for people. Any blind people here that would like to get a nice... You wonder why Jesus did stuff like that? I don't know. Where was I? Okay, so he spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked and he said, "I see people and they look like trees walking around." That's supervision, isn't it? That's magnified vision. It wasn't clear vision. It wasn't complete. It wasn't whole. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And so what did Jesus say? Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open and his sight was restored. And he saw everything what?
Clearly.
Everything what?
Clearly.
Clearly. Oh, how I pray that we would leave this place today with the ability to see clearly. clearly. Now, Jesus also saw compassionately. Compassionately. Not only does Jesus pray and teach us to see things clearly, but also compassionately. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38 says this: Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is what? Is what? Is it lacking? Is it minimal? Is it scarce? It's what? Plentiful. Have you heard people? I mean, and I have fallen in the same thing. Oh Lord, give us a harvest. You know, we're praying the wrong prayer. We shouldn't be praying, Lord, give us a harvest. Jesus is saying, open your eyes wide, and if you had compassion, like Jesus had compassion, if I felt in my heart the way Jesus felt, we would just open our eyes and look all around us and see, okay, wait a minute, there's a great multitude of needs that I am called to fulfill. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so Jesus said this, listen, the harvest is plentiful, but what? So where is the problem? Is it in the harvest? I want you to take your pointer finger. You're going to point to the person next to you. And then you're going to say, you're the problem. All right. Now, I want you to take the same finger, okay? Put it in front of you. And as you were pointing to the person next to you, how many fingers were pointing back at you? Well, at least three. And if you have fingers like mine, you have four, you know? Pointing back at you. And so when you were saying, you're the problem, whose problem is it? Say, it's my problem. It's not Jesus' problem. It's not the devil's problem. It's my problem. If we are not harvesting the great fruit that is around us, it's not God's problem. It's whose problem? But the problem is that we don't have compassion. That we can see the need around us and we can just turn a blind eye towards it and be okay with it. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough. The pastors met this early this week, and we were talking about vision, and you know, one of the questions that came was how big is our vision for this ministry and what God wants to do? And so we went around the table and we got to share, and you know, they came to me, and it was my time to share. And I remember answering the question with basically a homework exercise that I had done, Carmen and I had done before we moved to Florida. And so when we moved to Florida, before moving to Florida, we look at the demographics and we studied, you know, all the numbers and all the statistics and all the figures and the area. In fact, when we actually came to tour this area, we felt like we already knew it. And one of the statistics that I found very, very interesting is that on any given Sunday, there are about 800,000 households in Broward County of people that do not attend church anywhere. Say, that's a lot of people. Now, listen, we have some large churches here, right? We have Flamingo Road, we have Calvary Chapel, we have Oasis, we have all these great churches that are doing a great job in reaching out to the harvest. But did you know that there can't be enough Flamingo Road churches and Oasis churches and Calvary churches to be able to contain the harvest that is out there for the children of God to go out and reach? There aren't enough seats available in Broward County or Miami-Dade or West Palm Beach to sit people. And so we should not be happy. We should not be content until the very last day here on earth. We can't be content. As long as we have empty seats, we got to go out and reach people. As long as we could find a bigger place to worship the Lord, we have to go out and find people. There are enough people out there to reach. It's the harvest is plentiful. But we're the problem. Now, Jesus also allows us to see inwardly. To see inwardly. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height.'" Talking about, of course, talking about Saul. David, but comparing him to Saul, because Saul was what? Saul was tall and very, you know, and very, very handsome. And just look, don't consider the don't consider the height. Don't consider it. Don't reject them. The Lord does not look at things as man looks at. We look on the outside, but God looks what? It is so easy to look on the outside because it's what we see. But in some ways, we have to look beyond that and look inside where the pain is, where the hurt is, where the struggles are, where the confusion lies. We have to look on the inside. And unless we do that, friends, we're going to be missing the whole story of Christianity. Listen, if Christianity were like any other religion, then God would have waited until things were perfect to send Jesus. That's what every other religion does. Every other religion requires its followers to strive and work hard towards perfection. Before God or the gods are pleased. God takes that upside down and he says, no, when you were at your worst, when I was in my worst state, is when Jesus came. When we were yet enemies, Jesus came. That's why the whole Christian walk is we walk by what? By faith. We can't wait for things to we have to walk by faith. We have to walk by faith. And so when you see a situation, when you see a problem, when you see somebody that is just not rightly aligned, what you have to do is say, okay, Lord, what do you see in this person? And allow me to see the same thing. What do you see in this individual, Lord? Because I want to see like you do. I'm gonna fast forward here a little bit. I want you to go home and read Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. It talks about Jesus reading the passage of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he's called me to preach good news to the poor. So I want you to go back and read that at home. But this is basically what Jesus identified himself, and I think that we should identify ourselves with it. Number one. We have to preach the good news to the poor. Now, you're saying, okay, what do you mean by poor, Pastor? There's not a lot of poor people around here. Well, wait a minute. There's a lot of people losing their homes. They're poor. If you look at Luke and you look at Mark, in Mark it says the poor in spirit. In Mark it says the poor. Take it as you want it. It could be the poor or the poor in spirit. Whatever poor people you come across, that's who you got to preach the good news to. Does that make any sense? It makes sense, right? Secondly, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Third, to recover the sight for the blind. Fourth, to release the oppressed. And five, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What an assignment. What an assignment. See, there's a spiritual eye problems that we go through, that we have lazy eye, we have color blindness, we have the inability to shed tears, the inability to see things, you know, at a distance or near, or the difficulty of seeing things as we, you know, that because our eyes are not aligned. This is how we bring our focus back to what's real, what's important. And so I want us to think about this. I say and ask ourselves, okay, am I really reaching out to those who are poor in spirit or poor, period? Am I speaking, proclaiming freedom to those who are spiritually prisoner or bound by their problems or oppressed by their marriage difficulties? Who are going through some tough economic times? Are we proclaiming the recovery of sight to those who are spiritually blind? Are we proclaiming the year of God's favor? Listen, our vision should be like God's vision. Our vision should be like Jesus' vision. And Jesus' vision was this. Jesus' vision was to seek the lost. To seek and save the lost. What does the word seek mean? When you think of the word seek, what comes to mind? There's a search going, right? Search and rescue. Doesn't that come to your mind when seeking? Seeking is not just, you know, stumbling upon things, right? You're intentional about what you want to do. You have a mission. You have steps, and you follow through, right? Somebody gets lost at sea. You know, their vessel stops in the middle of the ocean, and it's taking in water. It sends a signal, right? Mayday, mayday, SOS, whatever the case may be. We're taking in water. We are not moving anywhere. We're stuck here. The Coast Guard doesn't say, well, I think, well, you know, if the person is close to the Keys, I think that I'll go to the Bahamas, right? No, there's a purpose there, right? Mayday, mayday, we're taking in water. This is our location. What do? They draw the plan. They fuel their tanks. They get their stuff ready. And they have a mission. And they go directly where they need to go. There are mayday signs all around us. We have to seek. We have to just seek. We have to send search and rescue teams from this church out into the community and just rescue people. Does that make any sense? Are you getting this? Are you enjoying this? Even though it's hot? Okay, all right. Jesus' vision, Jesus' focus was loving people one at a time. One at a time. Have you ever wondered why he chose 12 of the probably the worst disciples anybody could ever, you know, choose, and why he spent so much time on them? Because he saw the potential. Now, how many of you live in communities where your neighbors are like not Christian, are unsaved, and let me see your hand. Because we don't live in compounds, right? We don't live in a commune where all the people around us are Christians, right? There's people all around us that are not. So what should be our target? Just to love people. To be a good neighbor. You know, if you're doing a cookout, invite your neighbors. I told you about my next door neighbor. When he was ready to get married, who did he call? He called me. That's the way it ought to be. And also this, Jesus' lens was compassion. If we do not see the things around us with compassion, through the lens of compassion, then we're wasting our times. The word compassion in the New Testament, very interesting, only applies to one person. It applies to Jesus. Thank you, Ryan. It applies to Jesus. Scripture tells us that Jesus felt compassion when he encountered the sick, the blind, the demon-possessed, those who were lost, those who were hungry, those who were lonely, those who had disease, those who were bewildered. Jesus showed compassion. And so our call today is to see through the eyes of Jesus, to see through the eyes of God, to see the fact that the harvest is plentiful and that we are the workers he has called. Would you pray with me, please? Father, you've reminded us yet again that we shouldn't be praying for the harvest. The harvest is there. That there are about close to 1 million people, Lord, around these areas that do not go to church anywhere. That they are far from you. And these are people for whom God, you sent Jesus, your son, to die on the cross to save them. Our prayer is, oh God, that we would see through the eyes of Jesus. That we would have compassion. That we would feel love in our hearts. And that we would have a new sense of mission for those that you've placed around us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.